On that note, ladies and gentlemen, it is a Wednesday morning, and Wednesdays we spend time with Dr. Hanalei Williams, and we're focusing on mental health issues. This morning, not any different. She's in the building. She's with us in studio. Morning, Dr. Williams. Are you well?
Good morning, Grant Johnson and Suhail Khos.
Good morning, morning.
No, I'm well, very well. Thank you. And yourself?
Always well. Always well. Never dull moment my side.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Life will believe it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
How was your youth day yesterday?
I took a very long weekend, so Lico, Monday off as well for the first time. So I had a very good weekend.
Did you travel a bit, or were you?
Yeah, we went to Robertson.
Robertson?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the weather was amazing.
Did you go on that river thing?
No, I didn't go on a river.
Nothing.
No, nothing. Was there a river something?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know about it.
It's a very nice outing.
Okay, so that's the next stop. And it's close by, so we don't have to travel so far. But it was excellent.
Yeah, I'm glad you're well. You always look nice in your different kind of colors today.
Thank you.
I like the colors of today.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Anyway, so doctor, are we ready to get into things?
Yeah.
But I actually wanna put a spanner in the works here this morning.
Okay, you can throw a spanner.
It's mental health. That's what we're focusing on a Wednesday morning. But because of the fact that it was Youth Day yesterday, can we maybe focus on adolescents and how mental health issues maybe affects them?
Okay. Most definitely.
So let me kick start with this question, and I would like you to list it maybe for us, the most common mental health disorders that's actually affecting adolescents, particularly in our country.
Yes. So June is still Men's Mental Health Month, and we are not forgetting about that. But like you said, our adolescence is one of the most important developmental stages. Adolescence is one of the most important developmental stages in our life. It's a period of rapid physical growth, emotional development, identity formation, and increasing independence. While it can be a very exciting time, it can also be a very challenging one. So just to mention, in South Africa, studies suggest that between 10% to 20% of children and adolescents experience a diagnosis of mental health, yet never receive treatment. So this is quite concerning. If you say 20%, then in 100 kids, children and adolescents, 20 of them will have a treatable mental condition.
And to narrow it down, 2 out of 10 kids.
2 out of 10, yeah, exactly. So your question is common mental health disorders. So what we do see is anxiety disorders commonly.
Okay.
And we can go into that quite in depth. But just to mention a little bit of signs that if you have a child sitting at home and you are worried about if the child has anxiety, look out for excessive worrying, look out for physical symptoms such as headaches and stomach aches.
And that's normally either before exams or before they have to do something.
Or before Monday morning.
Could be that
as well. Look out for that. Also, if they have difficulty in concentrating, avoiding of school or social situations, and sleep difficulties.
Okay.
So if you have a child and that sounds familiar to you, just, check in.
It could be. And that's called anxiety disorder.
That is part of anxiety disorders.
Okay.
It can overlap with other mental disorders as well. And then briefly, just talk about depression that we sometimes miss in adolescence, because the common symptoms we think of is sadness and loss of interest in activities and social withdrawal. But in adolescence, depression often presents as irritability irritability rather than just the sadness. And additional to that, there can be changes in sleep, changes in appetite, poor concentration yet again, and feeling of hopelessness. So, like I said, it's not necessarily the child that is sad. Mm. It's more the irritable, agitated, snappy child. Mm. Just look out that that child or your child maybe are not suffering from depression.
Okay, so that's a sign.
And that's
and
a sign.
And it could be depression.
It could be depression, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And just remember, I'm mentioning a lot about poor concentration, and I'm saying that for a reason, because the third condition that we often see in children and adolescents is ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and this affects approximately 5 to 7% of school-age children. So symptoms that you can look out for if you are concerned about your child is yet again difficulty concentrating. So I'm mentioning this a lot, but you can see the overlapping symptoms in different disorders.
Before you continue, doctor, if you just join us, people, good morning. Dr. Anne Williams in studio with our weekly mental health chat, and we're focusing on adolescents this week. You've now mentioned anxiety disorders as most common mental health disorders that's affecting adolescents. Then you also mentioned depression and then ADHD.
Yeah.
Now, before you continue, how does the process work, for example, when a child comes to you, or an adolescent comes to you, for you to make a, can I call it a
diagnosis? So there are concerns.
Figure out what's actually wrong.
What is happening? So that's why it's so important to mention that there are overlapping symptoms, and sometimes you can't pinpoint what is going on. But you, as a mother or a father, sitting there listening to this, are concerned about your child because something is not right. So what we usually do, we make an appointment, obviously, and with minors, the family needs to come in as well. So the consultation usually start off with everybody, with a child, because the child, everybody needs to be on the same page. So the child needs to hear what the parents, or if they live with the grandparents or the guardian, has to say and why they're concerned.
Okay. Makes sense.
So in the consultation, we get the whole system. It's a system problem, I would say, because they need to support the child. So we can't just speak to the child, treat the child, diagnose the child, and then send off into the world. And sometimes we have to contact the school environment as well. So in the consultation, we'll hear what the parents, the guardians have to say, and then get a full history and take it back to even the birth history, if the mom or the dad had any problems, if there's bonding attachment problems, how they grew up, were there any problems with milestones. Did they, you know, walk when they had to? Did they speak when they had to? So all of that, and primary school, were there separation anxiety? Did they struggle at creche just to get away from mom and dad? So we take everything into account. So we get a full history, and obviously the symptoms that they are experiencing and how the how they're experiencing the child in the house. And then we will ask the parents to leave, and then we'll have a consultation with the adolescent, because yet again everything is confidential. And just to mention that we can only break confidentiality when there's a risk to the child, and when the child maybe say that they have active thoughts of harming themselves, or the other reason for giving confidential information if the court summons us to okay. do it.
So. But otherwise, it's confidential.
Otherwise, it's confidential.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay. Right. So I was interrupting your ADHD section.
Yes. ADHD. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But like I said, the symptoms is difficulty concentrating, poor attention span, forgetfulness, being very disorganized. So if you have a child that's very disorganized, sometimes that is not something bad. There's sometimes do you have, you know, in your chaos, you are very organized.
Organized chaos.
Organized chaos. And also hyperactivity, obviously. When your child can't sit still, it almost looks like and feels like a motor going on. And then impulsivity, if they're very impulsive. So that diagnosis we tend to make where we have information from the school, from the family, from the patient itself. And also what we are observing when we see the patient.
Okay. Right, so are there any other...
We can speak a lot about it, but I know we have our time is limited. Mm. But then something that is very common that I think we need to mention is the substance use that is increasing in our community, especially. Mm. And the common substances are the alcohol still, cannabis, and then nicotine and vaping products, and then obviously the methamphetamine, the tick, that we see. And they experiment because of peer pressure, of trauma, of stress, of just curiosity. And be careful, you might be very curious, but you can become very addicted. Mm. And also if you struggle with emotions, if there's emotional difficulties, they tend to use substances. Mm.
En ek dink dokter, ek het nog vrae hierso wat ek wil vra. Ek dink so een of twee vragies, maar het 'n boodskap nou ingekom wat gaan basies oor trauma en stress en misbruik van alcohol en sulke
dinge. So dat is nou net genoem het. Ja.
Kan ek dit
vra. Okay. Ja.
'N vraag aan dokter. Goeiemôre. Vir iemand wat alcohol gebruik, begin gebruik het, om angs en lewensdruk te hanteer, hoe benader julle as terapeute so 'n persoon om daardie spesifieke siklus veilig te stop en die regte hulp te gee? Vir iemand wat al sedert 10 jare met ernstige angs sukkel en nou as volwassene agterkom dat die werkstres en lewensdruk veroorsaak dat hulle alkohol as 'n kruk gebruik om hierdie angs af te skakel. Hmm. Waar begin 'n mens om hierdie kringloop te breek? Hoe hanteer 'n mens dit as die trauma en angs uit jou verlede begin oorspeel in jou huidige huwelik en verhoudings? Tot op die punt waar jy heeltemal oorweldig voel en jouself wil isoleer. As iemand baie diep komplekse dinge het om te verwerk, soos trauma en familiestres, maar oorweldig is om te begin praat omdat hulle nie weet waar om te begin nie. Wat is die beste manier om daardie heel eerste afspraak met 'n terapeut te benader?
Yes, baie goeie vraag. Baie relevante vraag. En ek dink baie van ons luisteraars sit met dit. En dit is wat ek wil noem, dat unfortunately early substance use significantly increases the risk of addiction later in life. En dit is nou my punt wat ek ook wil gemaak het, en dit is wat precies die luisteraar nou sê. So as ons kan vroegtydig kan identifiseer angs in kinders, soos hy sê, toe hy al 10 jaar oud was, kan ons verhoed dat ons sit met 'n jong man wat sukkel met erge mental disorders. En dan sukkel 'n mens om daar uit te kom. Maar waar begin 'n mens, is die vraag. Van daar is dit raak nou al hoe meer kompleks. Dit beïnvloed nie net jou professionele lewe nie, maar ook jou familie, persoonlike lewe. En die enigste wat jy moet doen is begin praat, because you also feel ashamed of what you are doing, and the only way to break the shame is to talk about it.
Okay.
So you can see a social worker, you can see a therapist, and you can see a psychiatrist. So basis maak net 'n afspraak. Jy hoef nie prepared te kom nie.
Okay. Kom met die flow. Kom net maak en begin.
Maar maak net begin. Action is the greatest motivator, sê ek altyd.
Okay.
Ja, jy gaan nie dink daaroor nie, jy gaan nie wonder daaroor nie, moet ek dit doen, moet ek dit nie doen nie. You just go into action mode en bel 'n nommer en begin.
Okay.
Dit is ons werk om die konsultasie te lei. Om te vra, okay, so hoekom is jy daar? Dan menige male sal pasiënte sê, ek weet nie waar om te begin nie. Dan sê ek, okay, kom ons begin by die begin. Wat is jou naam? Is jy getroud? Waar werk jy? En met dit raak hulle meer gemaklik en dan sal ons begin praat oor wat is die presenting complaint en gewoonlik is dit baie kompleks en dit gaan nie net dalk een sessie kos nie.
En dit hang van die antwoorde af.
Dit hang van die antwoorde af, dit hang van en jy hoef nie daar te by enige terapeut te kom met die antwoord nie. Dit is die, jy kom met jou probleme. Dit is vir ons om saam as 'n span, as 'n multidisciplinary span, te besluit wat is die beste plan van aksie vir jou lewe.
Okay. Dr. Annelie Williams in die atelier saam met ons dokter stuit hartklop regtig uit, maar in preparation for today's interview, I read something about adolescents and particularly mental health, but now they're saying, and I want to ask you, why is it that they're saying, or is it that South African adolescents particularly are vulnerable to mental health difficulties? Are they vulnerable to mental health difficulties?
Definitely, definitely. And I think the listener actually mentioned that they face unique challenges. Adolescents face unique challenges worldwide, but in South Africa, youth often encounter additional stresses. And I'm just going to name it. It's trauma and violence. They get exposed to community violence, domestic violence, crime, accidents, and they are losing their loved ones. We shouldn't forget that just a few years ago, HIV was quite prominent, and so they and even COVID, where a lot of adolescents lost their parents. So that is quite one of the reasons that they are struggling. So poverty and financial stresses, many families experience unemployment, food insecurities, unfortunately, and financial instabilities. Our youth are struggling with academic pressures. They face enormous pressure to perform academically, to gain university admission, and to build successful careers. So there's a lot. Social media, they're struggling with social media, it can be useful, can be very beneficial, but excessive use may contribute to very low self-esteem, body image concerns, cyberbullying that we are aware of, sleep disturbances, because at night, what do? They're on their phones. And that can actually cause anxiety and depression.
Okay.
So many adolescents compare their real lives to carefully edited online versions of other people's lives.
Doc, we have to wrap it up, and I want you to please, if possible, I know it's a very important topic, but if we can just get through the last one, which I think is very important. Parents that's listening at the moment, warning signs, what should people look out for? Please tell us about the warning signs that parents, maybe teachers, and even caregivers should look out for.
Okay, so this is very important, because again, early intervention saves lives. Parents, and if you are listening, and even teachers, you should watch out for emotional signs.
Okay.
If there's persistent sadness, excessive worrying, mood swings, the irritability that we spoke about, and loss of interest in activities that they were normally excited about. And then what we saw, especially in the public sector, is behavioral signs, where they start to isolate from friends and family. They have school refusal, declining in academic performance, increased in aggression, and also risk-taking behaviors, like now start smoking, hiding away, vaping, starting to use alcohol and other substances. Mm. And then, so it can be very subtle, they can be very secretive. But look at physical signs as well. Changes in sleep, changes in appetite, frequent headaches, stomach complaints, and just fatigue and tiredness. And if it's specific, if you're worried, if you've got a child there now and you're worried specifically about substance use, be alert for obviously smell of alcohol or cannabis, changes in peer groups, secrecy, and declining school performance. And something that we're very cautious about is self-harm and suicide risk. So particularly concern should be arise when adolescents talk about, you know, they're feeling very hopeless, they express feelings of worthlessness, they discuss death frequently, and they engage in self-harm. If you do see self-harm, remember, our adolescents, they don't cut on their wrists alone or burn themselves with a lighter. Look on their thighs, because there's where they hide it.
Oh,
if
okay.
If they're cutting their thighs, yeah.
Is it in thighs when they blade net?
Met enige iets. Ek het al pasiënt gehad wat die skerp marker, se blade, gebruik. So, jy mag ook, as jy pasiënt het of een kind het wat jy sien snij die gewrigte, al is het lichte snijkies, en jy probeer alle skerp voorwerpe wegkry, jy moet die tot op die skerpmakers gaan kyk, en skere en razors en messe alle en die menorah blades jy moet natuurlijk ja, so jy moet baie versigtig wees, maar as jy hierdie tekens sien, kry hulp vir jou kind.
Dokter, ons tyd is regtig uit, ek is diep in die moeilikheid, maar dis baie belangrik dat ons oor hierdie goed gesels, en in general, it affects everybody in every specific, in every way. Next week, we back and we continue our conversation with regards to mental health. If you would like to have a one-on-one with Dr. Hanlie Williams, you can do so. Call her practice on 082-673-1783.
So I was laughing at me, that number.
Okay, it's 083-673-1783. Okay, so
Candace can just correct that for me if it's wrong, but we can put it on the WhatsApp group. Yeah.
Otherwise, you can just go visit the practice at Synagoge Straat, nommer?
Ja, nommer 14.
Nommer 14, Synagoge Straat.
Dis 9-1.
Dis 9-1.
Yes.
Ok, dis raar. Dokter, jy moet prachtig en mooi bly.
Baie dankie, julle ook, en geniet die rest van die week.
Ja. Dokter, is die eerste dag terug vir die werk, nie, vir die week.
Ja, ja.
Dis 'n kort week vir jy.
Dis 'n kort week, en sterkte met die kinders wat nog examens skryf.
Net sulke mense wat so kan reis wees en so.
Ja, ook een mens moet uitrus, nie, anders gaan jy uitbrand.
Dis reg. Dokter, het gesê van die examen?
Ja, die kinders wat nog examens skryf, alles van die beste vir hulle. Dit is baie stressvol.
Right.
Maar alles wat begin, gaan eindig.
Ja. Tot ziens, dokter.
Tot ziens, Grant Johnson en Suhail.
Tot ziens, dokter.
Don't forget, please send us your questions if you have any questions. You can do it in advance. Goeiemorgen, Grant en Dr. Williams. Dank je voor een goeie program van Janine af.
Baie dank je, Janine.
Please send us your questions and stay tuned. Make a note. Diarize it. Join us every Wednesday morning just after 8 as we talk to Dr. Hanlie Williams, and we focus on mental health in general, but different kinds of topics every week, and we will deviate. If you have a specific question and you would like an answer to it, send it through to us 082-414-1077. Thank you, Doctor.
My pleasure.
Right, let's get into sports.